Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. My colleague and co-host and friend Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, joins me. Korea, since the election of Lee Jae-myung. We welcome Morris Tan, very helpful guide to the recent elections. He was there as an observer and now can help us understand headlines from South Korea that are suggestive but not definitive. Need interpretation. CNN reporting, explosive battery blaze in South Korea paralyzes vital government services. Puzzling. It looks damaging to the business of government as usual. South Korea is a highly digitalized state. Morris, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for joining. At first glance, it looks like, oh, yes, that's right. That happens to those Teslas all the time. The battery catches fire. Once in a while, it happens on board an aircraft. So it happened to South Korea. What's the big deal? You tell me this is a very big deal. What's been damaged and what are the questions about the damage? Good evening.
Yes, there are major questions here, John and Gordon. So the battery area is reportedly separate from where the server is. And where the servers are, it's supposed to be ultra-sensitive to the slightest bit of fire. And so it raises questions as to why does a battery failure lead to destruction in the server room. And this has hamstrung South Korea, where there's over 600 major functions that have been taken down through this. The timing is also very curious, because this is just before there would be visa-less entry for those from China. And there is a concern that there are many from the Chinese Communist Party who are flooding in. It also disables the country from being able to engage in background checks of those who are coming in. It destroys intelligence and counterintelligence capabilities. And it also is thought to have destroyed election-related data as well, which is highly concerning in an environment when most of the country believes that the elections were rigged. And so there are many concerns related to this. You might think of it historically akin to the Reichstag fire in Germany. That was the pretext that was used to curtail a whole series of constitutional rights that were there and to suspend those. And it allowed a tremendous consolidation of power by a certain Adolf Hitler. There is a certain analogy here. There's a term I coined. I call it techno-totalitarianism, which is what the CCP is doing in China against its own people. It's employing technology for totalitarian purposes. And as we have reports now in Korea that people's personal conversations, people's social media interactions, that if they have any criticism of Lee Jae-myung, they are now being investigated and experiencing things along those lines. And so we have a real danger of the rise of techno-totalitarianism here as well.
Gordon, you have a question for Morris.
Morris, given the critical nature of the data that was kept at the center, was there a backup? And if there wasn't a backup, why wasn't there?
There's supposed to be at least 2 backups here. And so it is very curious why, in spite of reportedly having 2 backup systems, why is it that the vast majority of the services have not been restored using the backups? And so this is also another curious thing that raises questions, raises concerns, because there have been a very small number of services that have been restored since the fire happened. But the vast majority of them, the overwhelming majority of them, have not been restored, notwithstanding the fact that there are reportedly two backup systems here.
The presidents of Ijeongmyung, it's very early on, there were concerns before the election that Ijeongmyung was an ally, if not a representative of the People's Republic of China. Since then, he's been much in the news. Is there evidence that he is bowing to Beijing, or is there a demonstrated independence?
There is even been caught on a picture that he is bowing his head, saying "xie xie" to the leadership. Thank you to the leadership of the CCP, and upon returning, he tells the people of Korea that we should just say "xie xie," thank you, to the CCP. In addition to that, when he met with President Trump on August 25th, he also sent an envoy to meet with the CCP. In addition to that, after returning from meeting President Trump, he sent the number two person in the country to meet in a celebration, a military parade celebration for this Chinese Communist Party, together with Putin and Kim Jong-un. This was the only representative sent from the free world. And that implies very strongly that this is not part of the free world anymore. He noted that when he was in Vietnam, he congratulated the head of Vietnam for resisting foreign powers in reunifying Vietnam under communism. Who are those foreign powers? We're talking about the United States of America. And even more distressing and concerning, South Korean forces themselves fought alongside the U.S. in the Vietnam War. He's supposed to be the president of South Korea, and yet he's celebrating the beating back of South Korean forces, even together with U.S. forces along these lines. And so he has taken down counterintelligence. He has fired all seven four-star generals. He took down the drone commander within the country. He has engaged in a raid of the Osan Air Base that President Trump called out, which is the largest air base, a joint air base, that there was no notice nor permission as required by the Status of Forces Agreement before this raid was conducted. So there are a whole series of things going on here, and the visa-less entries of those from China, this is right out of the CCP playbook. When they want to take over an area, they flood that area with operatives and agents sent by the CCP, who, because of the doctrine of civil military fusion, all of them are potential, if not de facto, agents of the Chinese Communist Party. So there's a whole series of things here.
Gordon, is there, in effect, eyes on this in either Congress or the chief executive, to your knowledge?
President Trump, on the morning that Ijeongmyung visited the Oval Office in August, did post on social on Truth Social about a purge and revolution in South Korea. So President Trump is aware of this. Whether he's actually doing something about it, I don't know. But there has been a quiet Washington has been quiet about these extremely troubling developments in Korea.
You have a question for Morris. We have a couple of minutes.
Morris, will democracy survive in Korea?
It's under grave threat right now, and it is in danger of not surviving. Arguably, it's already dead, in that if elections are not able to move forward in an honest way that reflects the will of the people, it's so central to a representative democracy. For that not to be the case implies that it is either dying or dead. And so can it be resurrected? That is an important question. One means of investigation that the U.S. has is the fact that there was USAID support into the National Election Commission of Korea, as well as AWEB, the Association of World Election Bodies, which is in Korea, which has been the primary means of enabling election fraud around the world. Because there has been USAID support into both of them, it gives potentially a jurisdictional hook for the U.S. to be able to investigate, for example, to say we need to examine the server. But if the evidence here has been further destroyed through this fire, there is a concern whether or not there has been such destruction of evidence that even such an attempt might fail.
Morris, final 30 seconds. The Reichstag fire is a vivid image of catastrophe. Is that being used in the newspapers in South Korea right now? 30 seconds.
I've not seen it, but I think it is an appropriate analogy because this was the means by which Hitler used this means to suspend constitutional rights and liberties and to consolidate power. You see that going on very rapidly in South Korea right now as well, through this means and other means as well.
Morris Tan, Gordon Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.